actually hope that we start creating platforms where minorities are now shining in their rights, in their communities, in their homes. And when I say home, I'm not just saying in the four walls that you live in.
Right.
I'm saying in the homes of the community of our people. I've never really been the type to force myself into groups to fit in, or to force myself at a table that I'm supposed, that they tell me I'm supposed to sit at to be cool. You understand? Granted, of course, who wouldn't want to go to the Met Gala? Who wouldn't want to go to the Oscars? Who wouldn't want to be at the Grammys and get recognized? Because these are the platforms that people of the greatest, great of the greats get recognized, mm-hmm. right? I'm at a point, and I'm not discrediting them. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm too good to be there, or we should boycott. No, I'm not saying any of that. I'm asking for us to create more platforms. And when I say us, I'm going to still say minority. Because I have a lot of my Spanish friends. We all look at each other like, listen, we're in the same boat.
Yeah.
Even some of my Asian friends, depending on what it is. So I want to say I would love for there to be more platforms. Even if someone said to me, look, hey, do you want to help work on a new magazine that highlights black beauty? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or maybe even me create it on my own. I've been sitting here with too many ideas that's been consuming my mind for the last few months.
Crazy.
If anybody's listening, hey, let's join. Let's work on some stuff. but also, too, I feel as though there should be a platform for us to feel like, look, man, you had Beyonce, Formation. You deserve 15 awards for what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there and feel like you are deserving of that one album of the year award.
Right.
Because we know what you did. We know what you did for the culture. And we also know what you did in the world. You made people talk.
Mm-hmm.
You made people feel things that they probably were hiding. Okay? So how can we take something like a Formation album and wait for that one category to say, this is why this was great? It's unfair. It's unfair.
Yeah.
And I think it's unreal. And for the years to come, and for those next generations of young black kids, what about the 8 years of the kids that got to look up and say, my president is black?
Mm-hmm.
Do we just leave them and just let them? What all the aspirations and all the dreams that they now have, what can we teach them? What platforms do we teach them that, look, you're going to work your behind off and get ready to wait for one category to call your name?
Right.
And then when we look back in time, it's almost like some of the greats, they didn't even get awarded for some of the great things that they were a part of.
Can we talk about intellectual property and copyrights and credits? And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like some of the people who are the masterminds behind some of these projects that come out, or my mind is racing right now. It's
no problem. No problem.
Even projects where we find out later on, it was the idea of one person in the office who may never get the credit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there are directors out here that aren't getting their justice. There are writers. There are creative people who sit there and go, no, this is what I think we should do. And it runs. You know what I mean? Even the platform that Dr. Dre took with Beats by Dre, that took everybody by the storm.
Yeah.
Let's also talk about Malia and Yara.
Mm-hmm.
These two are about to become the new Michelle.
Right.
This can't happen again.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm just saying there should be platforms, better platforms, and not, but we should focus a little less on being included and being the leaders of our creative. Own our shows. Own our magazines. Own our blogs. You know, I just found out the other day that the Breakfast Club ain't... Imagine if the Breakfast Club was owned by the Breakfast Club workers. Or if BET.
Uh-huh, yeah.
How are we getting so far away? What if our communities... What if I just heard that they're cleaning up the gentrification?
Yeah.
They're cleaning up not only Bed-Stuy, where I grew up. I'm talking about there's internet cafes, there's all this stuff. I'm hoping to go back now and open something in my neighborhood that I grew up that I know we needed.
Mm-hmm.
What about computer labs for kids to go do their homework? Huh. What about the homes that don't have? What about the libraries that they're closing down because they need to now build up a new apartment complex? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that we could be doing, man. But then again, it's easier said than done. Let me not get too far ahead of myself.
No. But what do you think, Khadijah, is the first step? Do you think that that first step to ownership, because a lot of what I'm hearing you say is that in owning these platforms, do minorities stop looking to these one things or to these award shows for validation or looking to these very limited and narrowing opportunities to get that credit that they inherently have worked for, that they know that they deserve? What do you think would be the first? Do you think it'll have to be something in media? Do you think it'll have to be something with property ownership, intellectual property ownership? Where do you think that process is most easily fielded to start?
Now, I might sound a little crazy.
No, please.
I really believe that we need help from the big honchos. And when I say the big honchos, I'm talking about I need some of these older senior executive, whoever it might be, we need some sit downs so we can start to talk to y'all, because at the end of the day, majority of the times, it's not that we can't do it, because we know the creativity is there. We know we can make these ideas flourish.
Right.
But the funding, the right people to be behind the projects, it's like, how do we get you guys to now understand, look, give us our due justice.
Yeah.
Right? Give us the opportunity to come in here and create these shows. Work with us. Don't go again. Don't be so quick to own the whole entire network. You understand? We also need you guys to say, hey, look, we need more grants, more funding for people to be able to get their ideas off and give them the chance to say, look, we can work together. So let's just say, I don't know, this might be big. Let's just say one of the editors from Vogue might have had an idea too, to possibly start another style of magazine where we focus on ethnic beauty or the Gigi Hadid, oh, the minority. Not just include us once or twice, three times a year, but what I am saying is, let's work together. And that's so hard to even let come out of my mouth, but yeah. I know at the end of the day. So not only am I asking you to help put the project, I'm also asking us to get creative control, yeah. And I'm also asking you to put my name on there as well. Think about how many of the people who are on the Grammy board, whoever it might be, that aren't in the field.
Yeah.
They're not in the clubs trying to find out what makes the culture move. Huh. They're not listening to radio shows to hear the songs that are being played over and over and over, but yet still, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Y'all get to say, no, well, we have a rap category. There is a hip-hop category. No, our culture is what's moving this world, is what I want you to know. So you should give a little more attention over there. Or, let's talk about fences. Let's talk about some of these movies that y'all might feel like, you know what? Yeah, you don't think Denzel deserves this award?
Hmm.
I mean, gave him three others. Well, you guys should be happy.
That's enough, yeah.
Because when some of our greats do these projects and they put their all, you guys are looking at other projects to say that it might be better. I'm not asking you to give us our little seat in the corner that you added because you ran out. I'm asking to create platforms so that we do feel as though all of us get the recognition and the awards that we deserve. We had one of the Kardashian sisters, and you know, I commend their level of success, but when you now have to take from other cultures and then you want to claim ownership of that, that's my issue. You can't want to now wear cornrows and Marc Jacobs and y'all love them, but you can't turn now and call them boxer braids. Like, y'all can't call in the hair salons and go, we want Kim Kardashian braids. Y'all got to be kidding me now. Like, are we really going to do that? So I just want to, like, coach, put me in. Let me go talk to some of you folks. Yeah. I don't know, man. I know Jay is onto something. He's creating some stuff, but like, my biggest thing is like I don't want to let Jay-Z be the only reason that puts Brooklyn on the map. Something to be said about everybody else that's working. And I'm not saying he's the only one or there aren't other. I'm just saying on a bigger platform. Granted, music does transcend way farther than any other art. We really want to talk about it. So the Grammys is big. I get it. I get why some of these artists are like, y'all not giving us our awards and we deserve. We had the number one for 100 weeks on the Billboard chart. It's still. So I also want more recognition to the J. Coles and the Kendricks just because they actually are helping to push the culture forward.
Yeah.
I really want others to be intimidated by our appreciation for who we are, for our music, for our culture, but more so, just give us the credit that we deserve. You know y'all need some of it to help your support. Why you gotta be so stingy? Why you just give the credit to snow? I just don't understand that part.
And I think too, big picture, you know, what you're saying and kind of giving credit and creating these platforms and reinforcing this idea of ownership, but in a real way, you know, owning our culture, because I find that to be something that's most troubling to having grown up in the culture and to see it celebrated so much in the center of Beijing, China, and just to see it in spurts throughout the country, or throughout the city, in a way that it's vilified in the United States, or in a way that it's only looked at as a trend, but that is just normal.
So too, going back to that ownership,
yeah,
and starting at home, why is it that there's a Chinatown anywhere you go in America? They stick together. They're not saying, oh, no, I'm cool, you can't come over here. Do you know that sometimes they'll rent an apartment and have 10 of their homies come in? Hmm. And I say homies because I'm making it a little more real.
Right, right.
Right? They got 10 of their homies that'll come stay in this one apartment, right? Everybody's working. Everybody's contributing. So now we got a year or two down the line, they have the opportunity to buy the building.
Yeah.
Oh, how epic is that? Taking that ownership of who you are and what you bring to the table. If your homie allows you to come stay by them because they're giving you a chance to feel out LA or feel out New York or Chicago, wherever it might be, because they want you to win,
mm-hmm.
you better believe you better do your best
yeah.
to make that person proud of for giving you the chance.
Right.
Don't sit there and let the months go by and you ain't doing nothing.
Right.
You're not contributing. Like, come on, man. That's ownership. It's also ownership of knowing that you are created to be who you're supposed to be, and you love that. Don't try to conform or change so much of who you are to appeal to the masses or to appeal to others. Granted, I've been a slim joint my whole life. There's no place for me to get a bigger butt. There's no real place for me to get bigger boobs. I created how I'm supposed to look. Am I trying to change that? So society or these modeling companies or whoever else, maybe I could get fit, a little more fit, get more toned for health watch. But to say that we have to change and alter how we were created and designed to be to fit into an inclusive package is my issue. It should be the focus of home right now. Home should be not spending that extra money on brands that ain't doing nothing for us. Home should be cleaning up the credit that we done messed up, buying things that we don't need. Okay? So that we do have the opportunity one day to not just rent that apartment, but to buy it. But my goal one day is to buy a building where I can fund and help artists who are growing, where you pay $500 to stay there. And you get a time frame so that you can get on your feet, get these ideas off, and then you go do what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying? There are platforms like that because our people, you know, we get caught up in certain things because we're so busy trying to get this level of validation from the 400 years they enslaved us. And come on, man. There's more to life. You got to worry about the kids that's after us. How can they get a chance to get their dreams up? You tell them to dream. What do you want to be when you grow up? And then it's like, well, when they get there, how do we help them cultivate and really hone in on those dreams and goals?
Right.
Or at least, how do we help them stay on track to get there? So many different levels for this.
Yeah. And I'm hearing so much on possibility without you directly saying it. It really is about being an example of that possibility or of kind of the new pathways of the new directions, whether it be in tech, whether it be in science, whether it be in that industry that your mom or dad doesn't work in, so it's not familiar. You are the first of many, or the first, period.
When I got to high school, we had a computer lab there. Kids had, like, MacBooks and all this other stuff, and I just used to be like, MacBook? So, it's like certain things. Like, even when I was reading, was it Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Oh, no, I'm sorry, in the book Outliers, how they were talking about sometimes you get certain opportunities and certain things that'll happen in your life that'll create you to be that outlier. Like Bill Gates, he got the chance to go to a school that had a certain type of computer program or something. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. Mm-hmm. But all that to say, the steps in which it took for him to say, now, look, I want to create this computer software.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? We need those opportunities for the next generation so they can start creating some more tech stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? And it might just be one of those little black boys in the hood. So let's prevent him from going to jail and get those ideas in his head off.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the outlet for that? Where's the after-school program? Where's the place that they can go to help cultivate this?
Yeah. Back to the point of possibility. And who did you, as that 8-year-old starting to dance, and as that 18-year-old, and as that 22-year-old making that trek to LA, you know, and who did you see possibility? Who did you look to as that ideal or model of beauty? Was it an Alec Weck? Who was it in the field of dance? Was it someone in the Alvin Ailey company? How was it, and who was it?
Man, I want to say this about three different people.
Okay.
And I love that you said Alec Weck. Oh, God, I read her book. Man. Okay, so the reason why I have to say Alec Weck is because, yes, growing up, summer times, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was always this thing where when you're a dark-skinned kid, certain people would be like, you shouldn't be outside. Or, like, I'm West Indian, so my family would be like, don't stay outside too long, you know. You. And it's like, no, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to enjoy the summer like everybody. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. I didn't care because I love to have fun. So for me, seeing an Alec Weck, and she was really big when I was growing up.
Yeah.
There was such a ethereal quality about her. Mm. And I love that. I was like, wow, she's untouchable. Like, she just seems like her skin is like butter. Like, it's a magic.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a static that'll come off. But I loved where she was heading. How she was glorified in the pictures and in media, and it was always about how beautiful she was. And then I realized her story. I had a mentor of mine give me her book when I was about 18. And I said, wow, if she could come from laying on the concrete floor to miss bullets that were coming through her parents' house while they were in there, okay, as a refugee. She said something where she laid along the floor and made herself as skinny and long as possible, almost flat to the floor. And she walked the runway with the same mentality. That to me was like, you come from that? Now you're on runways for huge brands, and that's what's going through your head? To be long and to be missing bullets? Oh my God. That was like, oh, I have nothing to lose. I didn't even have to go through that. So there's no excuse for me to not want to be able to kill this.
Right.
And then it was Rihanna. And I say the Rihanna because I had the like sense of her. Being a West Indian girl.
Yeah.
Somebody who was brought up on an island. Who would have never thought all these people would know her name. You understand? I studied her when I was younger because I was like, man, she's really killing it. Like, she started off just being a girl who was loved for the catchy tune, like fun to replay, and at that time in Brooklyn, you know what I mean? Like, that was our life. That video, that's what we did. So to watch her soar and just walk into rooms or be on the covers that she's been on, or this connection with Puma, it's like, you remember Puma back in the day? Yeah. Rihanna single-handedly revamped on the whole entire brand that we grew up on. So all of them could serve as possibilities for me that one day I could actually, I could be in that scene.
Stay tuned.